Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
No, thank you guys for all coming this morning. What I wanted to talk about before we pray is last week I said a little bit about something that we're doing in the back. You know, we normally collect food and clothing and, you know, household furniture, whatever, that eventually gets taken to a mission in Nogales, Crossroads Mission. And so, anyway, this is something we've been doing for years. One of the things that we do with that is, like I said last week, just that you guys are a very giving church. You know, there's always stuff coming in. And one of the things that I wanted to mention, somebody brought up a while back, is to not only, you know, whenever we don't make a big deal about tithing, right? But we know that's important. We know that that's part of God's kingdom. But one of the things that our church does is that we also tithe. And so we have seven people that we give money to. Whatever money comes in on a specific week, 15%, not just 10%, 15% goes out and gets divided seven ways. Okay? So this is why God blesses His church. We're also doing what you guys are doing. The church as a whole is doing that. So this is a good thing. Okay? And so I just wanted to mention that so you see that this is kind of an ongoing thing with the whole body, that you tithe, we tithe, and God just pours, okay? So that's just a little bit of information there. But as far as the food that we're going to be having for, this is a little an experiment that we want to try. Normally we get all kinds of food that comes into the church that eventually goes to the mission. But we're going to have some foods. We have some tables set up in the back. And we're going to have some of that food also be available to the body. Okay? And whether it's you or whether it's your neighbor, a relative, if you need something, you know, we all go through little spurts sometimes where maybe that paycheck's just a few days away and we're not quite there with the food items. So talk to me, talk to Stella, Pastor Henry, Rosie, and we'll walk you back there. And you guys can pick items that might get you by for a week or two or whatever it is that you guys are needing. And like I said, if there is someone you know that is not doing well, take it to them. There's enough. That's what I say. God just blesses this body. There's enough food that can go to the mission in Nogales and also serve here. We don't want to make it like an, let's say, to just open the doors and advertise and say it's open to all. There's a lot of churches that are doing that. There's a lot of churches that all you got to do is show up. They got signs that say free food, okay? Well, that's not our intention here. Our intention is to try to take care of people that we may know, including you. If you ever need a bag of beans, I mean, if I run out of beans, I've got problems. And so... Just ask Stella about that. Everything else we can run out of, but never run out of beans. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that. You know, it's something we're going to try. And, you know, if there's not a response, then eventually it's all going to go to the Nogales mission. So it's not going to waste. You know, so I just wanted to let you know that that's available to you. If someone you know is in need, we can help. Okay? So if you would please stand with me, we'll pray. Father God, we thank you that you are a giver, Lord. You meet all our needs, whether it's in the money area, in the food area, just in any need that our bodies are going through, our spirits are going through, Lord, you are the giver, Lord. You gave your Son, Lord, for us. And so we thank you this morning, Lord, for who you are, Lord. Every day in our lives, Lord, we don't have to wake up in the morning and wonder how we're going to get through it, because we know as long as we keep our eyes on you, as long as we look to you, as long as we counsel, Lord, with the Holy Spirit, that we're going to know exactly what to do for this day. And you will meet us there. So we bless what you're doing in this body, Lord. We thank you for every person that is here this day. And Lord, you have something special for a specific person today, Lord. And so we thank you, Lord, for whenever each one of us walks out of this church building today, that we would have received something special from you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you, Lord. And we come now with praise, with worship. And Lord, we just give you all the glory, Lord, for all that we are, all that we do. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Do you ever feel like you're in the valley or in the desert or you're in the wilderness? You're never alone. He is always with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And you know what? You're not wandering lost in the desert. He led them in the desert. He's teaching us something, even when it really, really stinks, okay? You don't want to be there. You just don't want to. You want to run. You got this fight or flight. You know, you just want to escape it. But that's when he can teach us something, okay? And it's tough to go through, but he can use us in those circumstances, you know? He can use us in some terrible times. And even in the Bible, it says, do all this without grumbling or complaining. Like that happens, right? Okay, we got to like remember not to grumble and complain. So I'm always praying, you know, please guard my mouth, you know, guard my mind, guard my heart. But you're not alone. He will not leave you or forsake you, even when you're in the wilderness.
How many of you know that the way we look at things is a choice for us, right? You know, our old business partners flew into town this week and they asked if I could help them because they had to like move a store. And the store we were moving literally in like 3 days. It was very busy, right? And we're trying to get all this stuff out. We're trying to go and we're exhausted and we're tired. And we're just like, you know, when you get to the end of moving where you're kind of like, if it's still in here, just throw it all away. Like, cause we're done. We don't even need it. We don't need it anymore. Right. But that's the thing is we were just really tired and we were kind of done, but we had a girl with us and she just had such a positive outlook and perspective all the time, regardless of like, you know, the little hiccups we were running into, the problems that were happening, the things that kept coming up, the whatever it might be, right? And at one point I turned and looked at her and was like, you know, I'm really glad that you're still looking at it this way out of all of it, right? And she goes, well, what am I supposed to do? She's like, either I can be angry and mad and irritated. She goes, or I can just be happy. She was like, and that's the thing is, it's really how it is for us, right? See, every little thing that comes up in our life, we can get all riled up about it. We can get frustrated. We can get upset. We can get mad. Like, what is God doing? Or we can choose to understand that we have promises that God's given us. And in those promises, if we choose to stand on them, we begin to realize that our reactions are completely different, right? And it's one of those things that I know that God's really dealt with me, like with even people, like through time. Man, we can just be people, right? Like, think about it. We get frustrated at things. We get riled up, right? And we can choose to let somebody rile us up with them, or we can choose to be different, right? See, this is one of those areas where for me it's always been like a very huge difference. It's like that visible difference between when you're walking with God and when you're just walking in the world, right? We really gotta start to see that it doesn't have to do with just that we read our Bible and that we're going through these motions of the things we're supposed to do, but that it's an actual relationship, a relationship that builds, that we understand Him more as He shows us things, right? It continues to grow. It's something that really does continue to evolve, right? The Bible says that it's a transforming of our minds. See, that transforming is us learning who He is and then realizing who we're not at the same time, right? I loved when she was talking about that stuff because it was just coming into my mind, some of the things that I had been reading, and I was thinking about it. See, when hard times come, what does the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us all things work together for good to those who love God, right? But sometimes when something comes and throws us off, our first reaction is, well, what the heck? What's going on, right? And we get all riled up and upset. When we're really resting in who God is, we should start to see that those reactions become like, all right, God, You said all things work together for good, which doesn't mean I get to choose and pick which things work together for good and which don't. It means all. It's all of it. So I'm not going to get riled up over the big. I'm not going to get riled up over the little. I'm going to trust what You're doing in every single moment because I know who You are. See, it changes. It's a transformation. It really does begin to change the way you see things. God's got good things all the time. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it, regardless of what comes against me, regardless of what comes, because I know what He's done for me. I know that He's made me more than a conqueror. I know that He's told me with faith like a mustard seed, I can move mountains. See, that's who He's called us to be. That's who He's telling us we are. There's power in the spending time. There really is. Because it's not just going to church anymore. It becomes an everyday relationship that builds and doesn't just clean you out. It overflows constantly. It's just a constant. He'll pour it all in. As long as you're still there and you're going after it, He's going to keep pouring and He's going to keep pouring and He's going to, have you ever heard the, I want more, God, right? Somebody once told me, I don't understand why we sing songs about I want more, I want more. Because God's got more all the time. He's not done. If you're here, He's still going. If you're there working in your jobs, or even if you're retired and you're in the area you're in, God's got people placed around you for a reason. You are not here for no reason. He's always got something. Even when you think your time is done, He's saying, no, it's not. I still got you there. I still got more. I still have more to pour in. I still have more I want to show you, more I want to bless you with, more that I want you to see. Whew.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. nothing else fit for a king. Amen? Sometimes all you've got is an hallelujah. Is that right? Come on, hallelujah. God is able to do far abundantly above all that we ask or think at any time, at any place. Can you say amen to that? And sometimes when you get into trouble, how many, anybody ever been in trouble? Anybody got in a place where, man, I ain't got nothing. I feel like I don't have anything. Feel like God's not listening to me. Anybody ever been there?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. Just offer up an hallelujah. God. My pastor used to tell me, he says, you know what you do if you don't got anything in your cupboards? You open up the door and you throw a hallelujah in there. Is that right?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Now you got something. Amen. Come on. Praise God. Yeah, babe. Come on up. I like this lady. Hey, how you doing? Yeah. Hey, I got to preach. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
Henry and I were talking this morning, and his sermon is on...
Kindness, yeah.
Loving kindness. But anyways, we're talking about kindness. How grateful we are for you guys, for all the helpers that we have.
Yeah.
You know, we have Sunday school teachers, nursery, and, you know, it's us working together that makes this place what it is today. And God says, do not forsake the gathering of your people. And that's what we love to do on Sundays. It doesn't matter. Sunday is for Him. And we don't have anything scheduled, but it's for His glory. And we come and do what the Lord needs us to do. But I appreciate each and every one of you. And I want you to know that we love you very much.
Yeah. Amen. Go take that with you. Praise God. Hallelujah. She gets a little emotional. Can you say amen? Praise God. You know, hey, we do. All the people, hey, the guy that watches the building, we love you, man. All the people that do all the sound booth stuff, we love you guys. We pray you can't do things without you guys. All the people that clean. Yeah, all the cleaners, come on. All the people that clean the house and help us to do things like that, we appreciate you and we love you. We're always praying for every part of this church. The Sunday school teachers, the youth pastors, the associate pastors and everything they do. Constantly. You know, how many know that a church moves by prayer? Nobody prays, nothing happens. But you pray, things happen. Can you say amen? Do you know that? Do you know that the best thing for us to do always and constantly, that even the Word of God says, pray without ceasing. Is that okay? How many of you run out of things to pray whenever you're praying? Anybody ever done that? It's hard to pray without ceasing in your own mind. That's why God has sent His Holy Ghost, His Holy Spirit, to help us to pray without ceasing. Can you say amen to that? How many of you understand what I'm saying to you? The Holy Spirit, He knows what's going on. Can you say amen? Do you know that? Do you really think that God actually does know what's happening in our lives? You really think so? Yeah, He knows all the details. Is that right? He knows the dirty details. Can you say amen? Well, say everybody say, oh no. No, I don't know about that. Yeah, well, He knows everything. He knows it all. Can you say amen? And He loves us. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. I was preached last, I think it was 2 weeks ago. Letty got baptized last Sunday. Amen. Where's she? Are you still saved, sis? Yeah, come on. I loved her. I love when she went last. We call the baptismal tank a tomb. Because you go underwater and you die and you come back up. But I loved it when she goes, bye, Letty, right before she went underwater. It was pretty cool. I really loved it. But the week before that, I talked about under control. And this last night while I was looking at what was going on for the service today, seeking the Lord for today, and He said something to me. He said, you know, I want you to do kind of a series. And it's the visible, invisible kingdom is what He wants. How many say amen? A visible, invisible kingdom. How many know that the kingdom of God that's within you is invisible? Do you know that? How many know that? Yeah, well, it is invisible. That's why you walk into the Safeway, or you walk in. Some people might know you, some people don't know you, and there might be somebody in there that doesn't know you, and they say, "Man, there's something about you, ma'am. You're glowing." It's because there's an invisible kingdom within you that causes you to glow in this world. Can you say amen to that? It's the glory of God in the earth. Is that okay? How many of you like the thought of glowing? The brightness of the glory of God being in your life. The Bible says this, and it actually says in Isaiah, "Arise, shine for the glory." Amen. The Bible says that the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. How many of you believe that? See, that's something that God spoke, told Moses. He said, "Stand to the side, Moses. I'm going to wipe them all out." You remember that? He made a golden calf, and he said, "Stand by. Stand back here, man. I'm going to wipe them out. And out of you, I'm going to make a whole new generation." And Moses said, "But God, then the Egyptians, they're all going to say, 'Hey, you brought us out here to kill us.' And that's not good either." And God, I think God just wanted an intercessor. Moses was interceding for the children of Israel. I think God was just looking for an intercessor. And so he says, "You know, Moses, you're okay." He says, "But surely as I live," this is what God told Moses, "surely as I live, my glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the seas." I can't wait to see that. Can you say amen to that? I want to see his glory cover the earth. Oh, yeah. And then from what he's telling me, this glory is in the earth, and it's already all over the earth. Can you say, do you understand what I'm telling you? It is the people of God. The glory of God is in the people of God, and he calls us the body of Christ. That's what he calls us. He doesn't see all these silly little things of the divisions that we set up on our own. Like, well, what are you? Are you a Baptist, or are you a Catholic, or are you a Assembly of God, or are you a non? You know, do you know that there is a denomination or non-denomination?
It's all. Hey, if people love the Lord with all their heart and all their soul, all their mind, and it's the kingdom. It is the kingdom of God. It's an invisible kingdom, and God wants it to be visible in the earth. Can you say amen? And there are ways to allow it to be visible. How many of you know that God said, he goes, "I'm going to fill you with the Spirit of God." Can you say amen? Amen. I'm going to fill you with my own spirit. That's okay. And the Holy Spirit has these, what we call the fruit of the Spirit. Can you say amen to that? Those things, the fruit of the Spirit, are to be seen in the earth. Can you say amen? That's what God is desiring to do. You know, when Jesus was doing what he was doing, everything, he was the Son of God walking on the, everything he was doing was drawing people to himself. Do you say? Do you understand that? He had crowds of people coming to him because there was the glory of God was being manifested in his life. That is the same effect that we should be having in the earth, because we are filled with the Spirit of God. Can you say amen? Amen. And so things should be happening with the body of Christ. Can you say amen? Yeah. Should be happening. Huh. I want to talk today a little bit about one of the fruit of the Spirit. It's called kindness. How many of you know it's good to be kind? How many like it when people are kind to you? Yeah. Sometimes in your life, you're going to run into people that are kind to you for no reason at all. Has anybody ever run into somebody like that? They're kind to you just for no reason. And whenever they're that way with me, something with it, I say, they have to be. They know the Lord. I know they know the Lord. That's just me. That's just my thinking. But because I sense the kindness coming out of those folks. And kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. Amen? There can be a manufactured kindness.
How many of you know what I'm talking about? A manufactured one that you're kind only as long as all the situation is right and you're kind. There should be a kindness flowing out of you no matter what's happening. Can you say amen? Do you understand that? Because it's who we are. It's who Christ is that's within us. So I'm going to take you. I want to take you to Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, if you will. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, today's a day to be kind. Today. Look at him. Today. You know what? Forget about yesterday. Amen? How many were unkind yesterday? Anybody unkind yesterday? Today is a day to be kind. Can you say amen to that? Forget about tomorrow. It's not here yet. Amen? Today, it's my chance to be kind. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? How many know that Jesus knows everybody? Can you say amen? Do you think that Jesus knew this guy was a lawyer? Do you think he knew his intent? He was testing Jesus. Let's see if I can catch him in a word. Maybe he'll say something wrong. It's funny because everything Jesus was saying was wrong to the Pharisees. Is that right? The Jewish leaders, everything he'd say, man, they didn't like it, no matter what it was. Anybody ever had somebody like that, that no matter what you say to them, you just can't please them? Anybody have somebody that, yeah, I mean, it's like some kind of a disease on them or something, no matter what you do. No matter what you say. Well, I've had people like that in my life. I'm going to start again because I got kind of tickled with that piece. I don't know why. There's something about it that this lawyer was trying to test him, and he wanted to see if Jesus would say something wrong. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus, and he said to him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? The NIV, Pastor John, says, how do you understand? The TPT, that's the Passion Translation, says, how do you interpret the law? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Good answer. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. Good answer. And he said to him, you have answered right. This do and you shall live. I like that. Jesus, I really do believe Jesus knows exactly what he's saying every time. Nothing comes out of his mouth that doesn't have purpose. He tells the man, you do this and you're going to live. How many would rather live? How many don't want to die? How many don't care about death? Death should be nothing to us. And he says, you do this, you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength, and with all your might, and your neighbor as yourself. Can you say amen to that? Your neighbor as yourself. Yeah, come on, man. How many ever had a mean neighbor? Come on, man. Your neighbor as yourself. I went over to my well one day, and my two neighbors, they were about to throw fight. One guy was about ready to knock the other guy out. And the other guy was an older guy. I said, Steve, you can't hit him. He's old. And he goes, I don't care. That mouth don't quit running. I'm going to shut it up. You know, I said, hey, get away. The other guy's name was Ken. I said, Ken, you need to go home.
go home. Wow, just go home. He's getting ready to unload on you. Love your neighbor, right? As who? As yourself. Does anybody love themselves? How many of you love yourself? Some people don't want to admit it. But is it important that you see, because listen, I wish I looked like, I don't know who, Tom Jones or I don't know who. I wish I looked like Tom Selleck. I'm picking the Toms, okay? I wish I looked like John Valero. Come on, man, there you go. But you were there, yeah. But you got, folks, you gotta understand that God built you specifically to His detail. Can you say amen to that? He made you the way He wanted you. Is that okay with you? Is that all right? Specifically for a purpose that He has in mind for you. Can you say amen to that? He loves you. He loves you. And you gotta say, you know what? I do love myself. I love the creation you made me, Father. It's important. Can I tell you why? I don't even know why I started on this, but I can tell you why it's important that you love who you are. Because if you don't, you're going to spend your time looking at the Tom Sellecks and the Tom Joneses and the John Valeros, and you're going to be spending all of your time focusing on something that you don't even need to be focusing. When God says, "I've made you perfect, I have perfectly created and formed you," do you understand that? And it's a beautiful thing. It really is. And it's good that you know who you are in Christ, that you be comfortable in your shell, in who you are. Is that right? In your earth suit. Is that okay? My earth suit's got a big nose. Can you say amen to that? Ha ha! I was telling my wife I can smell everything. Yeah, I smell all y'all. Come on, man. I got up this morning, as soon as I opened the door from my bedroom, where I got two dogs that sleep in the house. As soon as I opened the door, I go, oh boy. I got to go clean a mess. And luckily the mess was in a contained spot, and both of them are standing there looking at it. And I go, which one of you guys did this? And they're looking at me, let us out of here. So I let them out, and then I took the thing outside. And I'm comfortable with my big nose. Come on, man. Maybe that's what makes me preach so much. It hides my face. Hallelujah. Can I just talk with you guys a little bit? We really need to be comfortable with who we are and what God's done with us. Is that okay? Is that okay? You got to be kind to yourself first. Is that okay? We're talking about kindness today. Do you know that? You got to be kind to yourself. Stop saying, I'm so stupid. I do that a lot. I've said that a lot out of my own lips. Boy, I'm stupid. I should have fired that guy years ago. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm really, seriously, we got to be kind to ourselves, okay? I remember the Lord was talking to me. How many of you know that you have the dew of your youth upon you? Okay? Do you remember? How many of you know that the Word of God says that early in the morning you get up? And He says every day He places a dew upon you. And He calls it the dew of your youth. How many say amen to that? How many like being young? Even though we've got we've got an age thing going on the outside, how many know the inside, man, you feel young. Is that right? We think we can do things. You know, the outside saying, hey, you're not no youngin' anymore. Is that right? Yeah, well, you know, but you just talk back to it. Say, well, the God says I got the dew of my youth upon me, so He's going to watch over that, and we'll just see what happens. Can you say amen to that? Believe God. Don't believe what you see. Is that okay? Be nice to yourself. Don't be trying certain things, man. I tried to keep a telephone pole from rolling. I grabbed a hold of it and it just about pulled my hand off. That's why I'm struggling with a guitar this morning with a fat thumb. Because maybe I could have done that when I was younger, but maybe I couldn't have either. So
We got to be nice to ourselves. You got to be comfortable about who God is, what God has created, how He's created you. Can you say amen? Amen? It's okay. God knows you, and He loves you just the way you are. I'm thinking about $50,000 worth of plastic surgery right now. Yeah, I know. He loves us. Can you say amen? No? So He says this. Jesus answering, well, the man, after he said to him, "You have answered right. This do, and you shall live." God wants us to live. But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answering, and this is a really good answer, because we'll get into it in a minute. But Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." So basically what they did when they stripped him of his clothing, ripped him off, here's a man naked. Now you cannot tell who he is, how he is. He could be a priest. He could be a very rich man. He could be anybody, but he's laying on the ground, beat up and naked. And so it's just, you just don't know who you got. Is that right? And by chance, there came down a certain, here comes a priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed on the other side. He saw him late. He go, I'm going to leave this guy alone. And when it says a priest, it could be almost anybody. I don't know if you know this, in those days there was priests of all sorts. So here was a priest that came by. And then now, here comes a Levite, which is a Jewish man, very possibly in the priesthood. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked at him and passed by on the other side. Two guys passed this guy. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Here's a thing about when Solomon passed away, his son took over. But when before he died, I mean, the Lord was after him, because Solomon's wives had taken his heart, had pulled his heart away from the Lord, and he was doing everything that was incorrect. He was making temples to the gods of his wives. So God says, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to take the kingdom and I'm going to split it in two. So when his son starts the kingdom, Rehoboam was his name. The Jewish people came to him and they said, well, how's it going? Are you going to be better to us? Are you going to help us? And he goes, you know what? I don't know. Let me check. So he goes and he asks his friends, he goes, should I be better? And they tell him, no, man, you tell them that your little finger is going to be compared to your dad. Your little finger is going to be as thick as your thigh. And you're going to chastise them with scorpions, is what he says. He goes and asks Solomon's, some of his guys that know the Lord, and they said, you know what, be nice, be gentle to them, be kind to them. Everybody say, be kind. Be kind to them, and they'll follow you. Well, Rehoboam takes the words of his friends, and he goes and tells them, hey, my thigh's going to be thicker than my father's little finger, and I'm going to put some heavy loads on you, and man, you guys, it's going to be like scorpions biting you. Not a way to win a political war, right? Well, anyway, he loses them. The kingdom splits, just like God said it was going to happen. Judah was Jerusalem, which was the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom, people went to Samaria. And ever since that time, there was this conflict between them. The Samaritans and the Jews, always a conflict. When the Jews went to Samaria, they were attacked by Assyria. Assyria, when they beat them, they started placing people in that city. And those people began to intermarry with the Jews. So now the Jews from Judah, they're calling them unclean. Those people are unclean. The Jews in Jerusalem, they told all their people, hey, Jerusalem is the only place to come and worship God. Remember the lady at the well? She was a Samaritan. And she told Jesus, well, you people say that you have to worship God in Jerusalem. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? The Samaritans didn't want their people to go to Jerusalem, so they built their own temple. And they started worshiping God in their temple. So now there's this great big conflict between these people. And in Jesus' time, that conflict was still happening. So I love it when Jesus goes to answer this lawyer. He tells him, yeah, I'll tell you how. There was a guy that was laying on the side of the road, and a Samaritan stopped to help him. Can I tell you that that was like a slap in the face? Because the Samaritans became a hero in this story. And today we still have a good Samaritan clause. And you know, if you help somebody on the road, you don't get hurt because you're being a good Samaritan. And even to this day, we talk about the good Samaritan. But when Jesus was telling this story to that lawyer, it was a challenge to that man. The certain Samaritan, when he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morning when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave it to the host and said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever you spend more, when I come again, I will repay you. Isn't that good? What a good guy, amen? Which now of the three thinkest thou, this is Jesus speaking, which now of the three thinkest thou that was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? And that lawyer answered and said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go, do thou likewise. You want to say that you want to profess that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. You've got to take the rest of it. It says love your neighbor as yourself. Can you say amen? Be nice to your neighbor. Be nice. Is that okay? Hallelujah. I want you to look at verse 33. It says that the certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had... What does the word say? Compassion. What is it? Compassion. 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 Anybody ever had compassion on somebody? You ever felt that? You know what it feels like? You do. You know what it feels like. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 and 42. Look at this. There came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him, to Jesus, and saying to him, if you will, thou can make me clean. And Jesus, see what it says? Moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. I say amen. See, that movement of compassion. See, compassion is a word of movement. Jesus was moved with compassion. This man that saw the guy that needed help on the side of the road was moved with compassion. Hallelujah. I've got a friend at the mine. Well, there was a Every time he was actually the supervisor of the sample lab. Remember the sample lab? That it was up. It was close by where I had to go behind their building and check their air compressor. They had to have air to run their stuff in there. And so I would go back there every morning, and almost every morning the supervisor was out there with a cup of coffee, and an empty cup of coffee. He said, "Come on in, Henry." He says, "Man, let's have some coffee." I said, "All right." His name was Charles. So I'd go and I'd sit down, and we'd be drinking coffee, and he'd be talking. He would talk and talk and talk and talk. I could hardly ever say anything. So he'd be talking to me and be talking to me. And I said, "Man, just sitting there, just listening to him, talking about fishing, talking about cars, talking about he would like to get a boat and all this stuff." He hardly ever let me talk. But he was so friendly. He treated me really well. People would come in and ask him, of course, "Hey, hold on. We'll be out in a minute. Right now we're talking." He'd tell his people. Name Charles Burnett. I loved the guy. I really did. And I drank. All I drank was. He wanted to buy me the tutti frutti type of. He liked. I think he had Irish. Some kind of milk that you put in your coffee. I just like Coffee Mate. I mean, like anybody here like Coffee Mate? No. Okay. Well, I like Coffee Mate. That's all I like. I drink half and half. But I'd go in there and he'd say, "Coffee Mate, that's all you want?" "Yeah." He goes, "Do you not like the sweetened coffee?" I go, "Well, not really. I'll drink it if I have to." But so he's just really friendly to me. I was working down in the shop one day, and as I was working, I didn't see him come in, and I felt like I was, man, all of a sudden my chest felt real tight. And I was actually getting these little, almost like a blackout. And I'm going, "What?" And I'm standing, I'm looking down, I'm just going, "What is going on?" And I looked up, and Charles and his secretary were waiting for the conference room that was close to where I was at. And when I looked at him, he turned around, he looked at me, and he waved at me. I go, "Hey, bro, how's it going, Henry?" "I'm doing good." And then he, you know, I kept on working, and it felt like that, whatever that was, after I waved at him, it went away. Well, it wasn't a few minutes. I had taken a bunch of bolts out, and they were dropping on the ground. I was just going around real fast with an impact tool, and the bolts are dropping on the ground, so I'm down picking them up. And then all of a sudden, whoo, I get this real hard feeling in my chest again. And I go, "Whoa, what is this?" And I sat there for a minute, and I'm on the ground, and I look, and there's shoes standing right there. And I look up, and it's Charles. And I go, "Hey, Charles." And I stood up, and I go, "What's going on, Charles?" He goes, "Oh, we're waiting for the room. They're going to be out in a minute." He goes, "Have you ever had problems with your heart?" I felt like saying, "Yeah, right now." "Yeah." But he goes, "You ever have problems?" I said, and he says, I got a double bypass. You know that?" I said, "Yeah." And he says, "But I feel horrible today. I don't know what's going on. I feel horrible." And within me, I felt this compassion rise up. I said, "Oh, Charles, man, let me pray for you, bro. Let me pray for you." I don't know what kind of religion he was, but I started out in tongues. Is that okay? I started out in tongues, and all of a sudden I just spoke into him. I spoke life to his heart that God, whatever was going on, I didn't know what was happening. But I know that I felt this compassion for him. Just when I finished praying, his secretary, "Charles, Charles, come on, the room's open." So he goes, "Hey, bro, I got to go." I said, "All right." Didn't get a chance again to say anything to him except pray for him. And the next day, I come in the morning, and I see my phone's got a message on it. I picked up my phone, and it's Charles. And he's crying on the other side. He goes, I tried to catch you before you left. He says, I got into a meeting there. He says, and I have never felt better than I have. Right after you prayed, I went in that room and I felt something on me. He goes, and I have never felt better. I said, praise God. He's, thank you, Henry. Thank you, Henry. And it was compassion that welled up within me. My brother had gotten real sick. And he had gone to the hospital, and my niece called me up and says, Theo Henry, Frank is really sick. Can you come down to the hospital? I said, all right. So we go down there, and they let us in. My brother was a big man. He was very big, and they thought he had problems with his heart. They were thinking he had problems with his heart. So anyway, we go into the room and we're talking to him, and the nurse comes in, and then another guy, and he is an x-ray technician, and he goes, hey, we have to take an x-ray in the room here because he's actually too big. So can we kick you guys out? I said, sure. So as we were going, I heard somebody weeping, and I looked, and they had some beds that were along the wall, and there was a lady in there. And she was crying, and I said, I looked over and I said, can I pray for you? She said, yes, please. So I prayed for her. And when I stopped praying, I opened my eyes, and there's a guy standing right here next to me, looking at me real weird. He had sunglasses on. He had kind of one of those little jazz guy hats on. Dressed in dark clothes. I could see his hands had tattoos on them. And I looked, I go, oh, hey. He goes, what were you doing? I go, I was praying for her. And he didn't say nothing. Didn't say anything other than that. We went to the waiting room, and we were sitting in there, and there was this guy come out, and he's sitting in there, and he's looking at me like he wants to kill me. My niece told me, hey, see that guy over there? Yeah, he's dogging you, man. I said, yeah, I know. I don't know what the problem is. I was praying for somebody, and he's standing right. I'm not sure who the lady was. And so my niece looks at me, that's weird. While we're sitting there, some people came in. It was a young couple. And as they came in, they had a little boy with them. And he was crying and crying and crying. The mom went to the window to sign him in. And this little boy, I'm watching the dad, and the dad's crying, his tears coming down. And when I saw those tears, man, my heart just filled with compassion. I said, whoa, man. I told my niece, look at how the dad is, man. She goes, yeah, I see that. He's hurting for his child. Right after that, I decided, well, I better go call Rosie, tell her that I'm going to be here a while. So I went outside the door, made a phone call. And while I was talking, I saw the dad, that young guy, go out towards the parking lot. And I saw him coming back in. I really felt that compassion. So I told Rosie, I got to go. And so I got off the phone. And as he came close to me, I said, hey, is that your little boy? He goes, yes, sir, it is. I said, hey, what's your name? He says, my name's Angel. I said, hey, what's his name, Angel? I said, what's wrong with him? And he told me, he said that for him to pee, his tube is too long, and it pinches. This is what the doctors told him. It pinches. So he's got a catheter he has to wear all the time. And so he goes, we're from Phoenix. We came down here to visit some family, and somewhere along the way, he might have pulled on that and got it out. So now he's hurting very bad because he can't go to the bathroom. It's plugged off. And I said, hey, Angel, can I pray for him? Because I really feel that something's going on. Can I pray for your boy? And he says, sure. So I prayed for him. And we went in. His wife was already back in the back. They had taken his boy back to the back. I went back out a little later on to talk to Rosie again. And while I was talking, I heard I could hear somebody running. And I didn't think anything about it. But all of a sudden, whoever they were, they jumped on my back. And it is Angel's wife. Her name was Allie. And she's crying and she's holding on to me, and I'm going, what? And I go, I'm sorry, can I help you? I don't know what's going on. I couldn't tell who it was. She's on my back. She finally says, my husband told me there was some old guy prayed for me out there. I said, that wasn't me. No, but she said, there's some old guy prayed. And he goes, let me tell you what happened. She goes, Angel came into the room back there. They let him go back in. And while the little boy was laying there, they had told the nurses what happened and what was going on with him. They just said, we just need you to put the catheter back in for him. It'll be fine. And so he goes, okay. Well, when they pulled what was left of the catheter out, the sprinkler system started. And man, they grabbed a towel and put it over the top of the kid. And the nurse told them, I thought that wasn't supposed to happen. They're looking at each other. No, that's not supposed to happen. That's when Angel told her some old guy prayed for him out there. And so they asked her, well, what do you want us to do? Do you want us to put the thing back in? And they said, well, we don't know what to do. So they called their doctor. And the doctor in Phoenix told them, that's not supposed to happen. That can't happen. We go with God, it can. That cannot happen. He needs a surgery, and that's what we're going to do, but it can't happen. Well, let's do it. He did. He peed all night. The little boy's just happier than heck on the table. And they said, he says, don't put it back, and then we'll take a look at it in the morning. Bring him in the morning, we'll see what's going on. So they packed him up, and they had already carried him out to their car. And I guess Angel said, hey, Allie, that's the guy. So that's when she jumped on my back. So he follows her over, finally got her off my back. She said, I don't know what's going on. She's crying. She said, you know, the other day I worked for the Greyhound in Phoenix. She goes, my husband and I, we dabble in cocaine. And she goes, we dabble in cocaine. And the other day I was putting little Angel in his crib, and I heard a voice said, stop doing cocaine. And all of a sudden I started crying. I heard this voice, I started crying. I said, did it scare you? She goes, it didn't scare me, it made me cry. So I told Angel, I'm not doing that no more. She got in her car, started the car up, and headed out to work. There's a K-Love is playing on her radio. And her husband's with her. She's going to drop him off. He goes, who put that on? She goes, I don't know. And he got out of the car. She dropped him off. She's driving to where she had to go. And she said, I just started crying. I was listening to some preacher on there. So the next day, I kept it on there. And the next day, Angel said, why are you listening to this? I don't know. This happened before this thing at the hospital. She said, when the little boy... they figured out that he was crying because he couldn't go to the bathroom. They said they were going down the freeway and they saw St. Mary's Road. And she said, something just made me start crying. She told her, pull off here. And that's where I was at. I was at St. Mary's. She said they were headed for the hospital, but they got intercepted. Can you say amen? They got intercepted by the Holy Ghost in that hospital. So she tells me all this story, and I said, praise God, man, that's good. She goes, where do you go to church? What's your name? I said, you know, my name's not important, but who is important is Jesus. Have you ever given your life to Jesus? And she says, no, I don't know anything about that. I said, well, let me do this for you. Let's pray. And I grabbed her hand, and she's, Angel, come here. And he's crying. And I said, Angel, do you want to receive the Lord? He goes, yeah, I do. So we're praying, and they received the Lord. And I said, man, hey, find a church, one that believes in God, one that believes in the Holy Ghost. Find a church. And said, okay, you know, so they're leaving the parking lot, and I'm waving at them. And as I'm waving at him, here comes this guy with his sunglasses, and he's coming, and he doesn't have his hat on. He's got something in his hand, but I'm not looking at his hat. I'm just looking at him. I see him, and he's coming at me with an attitude like, dude. He stops right in front of me, and I say, hey, I go, hey, can I help you? He goes, do you work here? I said, well, no. And I said, no, I don't. My brother's in there, and I'm here visiting with him. And he goes, well, you should work here. I've been watching you. That's what he told me. Yeah, I've been watching you. I said, really? Yeah. He goes, you were talking to my wife back there. I said, yeah, I wasn't really talking to her. I was praying for her. He goes, yeah, okay, whatever. He goes, she had a toe amputated, and it has gotten infected, and it's been hurting. She's been crying, and she's been hurting for like 3 days over the weekend. And she goes, and he goes, and so I brought her in. They put her on that bed. They're waiting to see her. And he goes, I saw you talking to her. I said, praying. He goes, no, well, I saw you. And he goes, and then I went back, sat down, and then I went back to see her again. And she was in a room. She was in a room, and she was asleep. So I asked the nurse, what'd you give her? Well, we can't give her anything. She's got to see a doctor first. Well, no, but what'd you give her? She was in horrible pain, and she hasn't slept for 3 days. She goes, we didn't give her anything. So he tells me, hey, I don't know what you did to her, but she fell asleep, and it looks like she's not in pain. I'm on a roll by this time. I'm like, oh, yeah, come on, Lord. I said, man, hey, man, you know what? That was not me. That was God. God was touching her. God was she's missing. And he goes, okay. And I said, hey, do you want to give your heart to the Lord? He looks at me and goes, nope. I thought for sure, hey, this is going to happen tonight. I said, no. I said, well, listen, brother, I'm going to tell you something. Have you seen something tonight? That couple, their kid was sick, but God opened it. You've seen something tonight. He goes, well, yeah, this has been odd tonight. He goes, you're the one. You're the odd one. And I said, well, let me just say this to you. When you get home, you get down next to your bed, and you tell the Lord, thank you, God, for all that you're doing. You tell him that you saw that he is able to do above all that you can ask or think. Okay? All right. Puts his hat on and went back in. And man, I was fired up. But I realized something, that it was compassion that kept me. It was compassion that pushed me. I was moved with compassion to do some of these things. And folks, can I just say this to you, that the Holy Spirit speaks that way. When there's somebody around you, how many of you know there's some scam artists out there? Is that right? There's some people out there asking you for money. They want your money. They probably don't need your money. But there's other people that need something from you. Can you say amen to that? You know, don't be so untrusting to people immediately off the bat. Don't be that way. When you see them, say, Lord, is there something I need to do? Be led by the Spirit. Can you say amen? That's another thing. I think that moved with compassion and is a kindness in action. Is that okay? It's kindness in action. If you're moved with compassion and you don't do anything, you're wasting a moment. You're missing an opportunity. Can I say that to you? How many of you don't want to miss opportunities that God wants for you? I don't want to miss any opportunity. I want to be able to be used by God to do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. It's important to me. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23.
I'm going to read this to you in the King James. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Can you say amen to that? Those are the fruits. Those are the things God desires for us to be operating in. Can we see it in the NIV for Pastor John? Well, look at this. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance. It says kindness. Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. Can you say amen to that? See, it is important that we understand that being kind is a fruit. It's a fruit. It is part of the Spirit. It is what God is good to you. He's kind to you, is he not? Is he God not kind to you? Oh, you bet he is. It's a fruit. Recognize it as a fruit when you sense that this compassion to be kind, or you want to be kind to somebody, you feel it welling up. It could be just for the reason that they'll say, somebody was really nice to me today, and I don't know why. Or it could be because God wants you to pray for them or speak into their lives. It could be anything. But when you sense it, follow it. It's called being led by the Spirit. Look at this in the TPT. It says it this way. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit. How many of you are interested in that? You better be. Oh, you better be. The fruit produced by the Holy Ghost within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. Joy that overflows. Amen? How many of you like joy that overflows? Yeah. I love joy that overflows. Peace that subdues. How many of you like that word? I mean, this is good. This is a good thing. Peace that subdues. Seduce what? Your fear, your tension, whatever it is that's contrary to peace, it will subdue that. Can you say amen? Peace that subdues, patience that endures. Anybody get that one? Patience that endures. Hey, how many know people with a short fuse? That? See, their patience endures just for a little time. How many of you have patience that, how many of you think you figure you got a long fuse? I try to say that I've got a really long fuse. Because I can put up with a lot of stuff a long time. Can you say amen? Patience that endures. Endures what? Endures some time. It's long suffering. It endures. It's patience that endures. See, this is, folks, I'm going to tell you, a lot of these things God's going to have me speak on. Because these are the invisible things of the kingdom that need to be visible. Can you say amen? Being patient with people. Being kind to people. Controlling yourself. Amen? Hallelujah. It says patience that endures. Kindness in action. Isn't that right? Is that what we're talking about? We're talking about compassion. A kindness that has action in it. A life full of virtue. Faith that prevails. I love that. Gentleness of heart. And strength of the Spirit. Isn't that good? Those are good things. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be what? What are these qualities to be? Limitless. Let them flow through you. You are a man and a woman of God. You are God's choice. Can you say amen to that? He chose you. He chose you. So allow these things to flow through you at his beck and call. Can you say amen to that? Don't try to manufacture them on your own. Let him flow through you. It's so much better. It's not as much work. Can you say amen? Ephesians 4:32 says this. Getting ready to quit here. Terry got, I'm sorry, man. Hey,
read something the other day, and it's like, it feels like the Holy Spirit is Terry, could you put up Proverbs chapter 9, starting at verse 32. Now, Proverbs chapter 8, starting at verse 32. I love it when God interrupts. Can you say amen to that? I love it when he shoots a word. I read this the other day. I didn't realize that this was might be something. Now, therefore, listen to me, you children. Can you say amen? Let's just say that God's talking to us. Can we say that? Let's just say that. Listen to me, children. Blessed are they that keep my ways. Can you say amen? You're blessed if you keep his ways. Hear instruction and be wise and don't refuse it. Blessed is a man that hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso finds me finds life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. I like this one where it says, blessed is a man that hears me waiting. Can I don't know about you, but when I look at a scripture like that, I say, Lord, I'm waiting. Can I tell you that you can prepare yourself in your job, wherever you're going, and whatever you're doing in sports, you can prepare yourself to be waiting at his door, at his post, for a word from him. Can I say that to you? Because he has great things for you. Can I just say this to you, that I sense him saying that there's times that he's spoken to you for a certain reason, for a certain cause, for a person or persons, and you've kept your mouth shut even though he spoke to you. Anybody been there? I don't want to know. I've been there. I've been to where God has said, and then I walk away. I said, I should have said something. I felt like God wanted me to say something. I should have said, I didn't know what to say. Can I just tell you, sometimes we don't know what to say, but if you'll step into that moment, he will fill you with what he wants to say. It's called being used by the Lord, allowing him to have his way in our lives, waiting daily at his doorpost so that whatever he wants to do, he can do it. Can you say amen to that? Nothing worse, folks, than a disobedient child. Can you guys say amen to that? How many does anybody get that? When a child is disobedient, it's not good. Woo. When my dogs are disobedient, they're in trouble. It's not good. Disobedience is not good. Obedience with the Lord should be, I'm waiting daily at your table. I'm waiting daily at your gates. I'm waiting daily at these posts. Wherever I'm at, I'm waiting, Lord, so that you can use my life for your kingdom. Can you say amen to that? God has a purpose and a plan for this earth, and it needs to be seen in the earth. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Ooh. Maybe this is just for me. Y'all are sitting there kind of, whatever. Okay. This might be just for me. But praise God, I'll receive it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. This is the last one. Could we stand up, please? The word of the Lord. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the temple of the Lord than to dwell in tents of wickedness. Here's what the word of God says. Be ye kind one to another. I'm going to say that again. Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Have you been forgiven by God? Yes, you have. Forgive. Be kind. Can you say amen? Kindness is a fruit of the Holy Ghost. He produces kindness in your life. Can you say amen to that? Don't be mean. Look at your neighbor, say, don't be mean. Don't be mean. Look at your neighbor on the other side, say, stop being mean. Yeah. Say, quit it. Say, quit it. Can you say amen to that? Folks, we need to be the gentlest and yet strongest people on earth. Can you say amen to that? The gentlest and the strongest in the earth. Can you say amen? Father, thank you, Father, for your word. I ask you, Lord, that you would, Father God, make us kind people. Make us like you. Make us after your kind. Thank you for that, Father, that we are your choice in the earth, God. Father, we ask, Lord, that you use our lives to speak and even lead and guide those that don't know you. We thank you for it this morning. We praise you for it, God. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Thank you for coming this morning.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.